This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast. It is the 15th of April, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. Good morning. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller check in with news today. The Indiana Lieutenant Governor is promoting a veto by the governor of Property Tax Bill, Senate Bill 1. And how significant is the potential of ag exports to Africa? Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast says it will be a chilly Tuesday, not quite as chilly tomorrow. And yesterday, grain and oilseed markets ended the quiet session mostly lower. We'll have the numbers and John Zanker commentary on the Hat Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
The Lieutenant Governor urging a veto of Senate Bill 1 and beefing up our ag exports to Africa. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. We can't let this become law. That's the message from Indiana's Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith regarding Senate Bill 1, the property tax relief bill. C.J. Miller spoke with Beckwith to find out why he's now urging Governor Mike Braun to use the veto pen.
Over the last 5 days, I've been hearing from Hoosiers all over the state, especially the conservative base, and they were livid.
And that's Lieutenant Governor Beckwith, who told me the overwhelmingly negative feedback that he's received about the property tax bill led him to drop his support of the current version of the legislation.
And they were letting me know. They were like, this is not the fix. This is not what we've asked for. This potentially is going to hurt us.
Even though the bill would provide up to $1.4 billion in tax relief for Hoosier homeowners over the next 3 years, the bill provides only one-tenth of that savings, or $140 million in tax relief for Indiana farmland owners.
It's not all bad for farmers, but I just think we can certainly do better. And farmers have given us a lot of grace. I mean, I've talked with Farm Bureau. I've talked with Don Lamb, our state director, does a great job. And they get it. You know, they're not screaming bloody murder in the state house right now, but they are saying, yeah, we're disappointed. There's a little bit for us, but we wish there would have been more. And so I'm not done fighting for more. I know the governor's not done fighting for more. We'll continue this fight.
The main point of contention that Beckwith says he's received from Hoosiers is that the bill introduces a new local income tax, or LIT for short. Indiana cities and towns that have a population of at least 3,500 would now be able to impose a brand new income tax up to 1.2% beginning after December 31st of 2027.
I wanted to see property taxes come down, but now what they're doing is they're saying, okay, fine, then we'll give you the property tax decrease, but then we'll also allow the cities to be able to really hit you hard on the LIT if they want to. Now, there's an argument that if local communities want to elect people that will raise the LIT tax, should they not have the right to do so? And there's an argument there. And I'm a home rule guy all day long. So if a Fishers, Indiana wants to screw over their constituents and just tax the living daylights out of them, okay. Well, Fishers, vote in different leaders in your community. But I don't want to make it easier for bad city officials. And again, it's not every city. So I know if you're a city official right now, you're listening to this, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so offended right now. The lieutenant. No, not every city is a bad actor. Unfortunately, there are some bad actors, though, out there.
Check out my full conversation with Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
Africa represents a big potential market for many American agricultural commodities, including meat. Matt Copeland is the Africa representative for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. He says his team is building relationships and looking for potential buyers of quality American meat products. They recently held a trade seminar for potential African customers.
We had 76 buyers in the room from 51 companies and 13 countries represented. So I can tell you the volume of tonnage that each of those companies procure every month is immense, and collectively well over 100,000 tons worth of protein bought by these candidates monthly. So it's really nice to be able to facilitate through a bridge of trust, which is what USMEF provides, and to many markets. But now here in Africa, we had some of our best and most capable, most incredible trading companies forward-facing to the African market. Some of them is their first time visiting West Africa.
Copeland says they were able to introduce many companies to each other, almost like speed dating. He talks about which products buyers are looking for in Africa.
They want to have experiences, the best steaks in the world. USDA Prime fits into that category, obviously. And then the have-not side, you have people that are probably sub-economic and then really don't have options. And so even our variety meats from the U.S. are far more consistent, and our supply chain is just far more wholesome from a food safety standards point of view than some of the others that we compete with here. You know, some of the consistency and things like Indian buffalo meats, I wouldn't be too thrilled in terms of the variety meat space because there's often contamination and problems.
Copeland reiterates their desire for quality American meat products, saying that our food safety in pork, beef, and lamb offers them a great alternative to what's locally available, and it's, quote, very awesome for dinner. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Your Tuesday is quite chilly here as cold air has blasted in behind the frontal boundary that exited the state last night. In this cold air mass, we're going to be seeing a lot of cloud cover today. I call any sunshine you see a bonus. Hopefully you see some, but we're not going to be seeing a lot of it, and that's just leading to some of these colder temperatures. I also won't rule out a few spits and sprinkles trying to rotate in around low pressure that's going through Michigan. Tomorrow, we get better sunshine potential, but we're still in the cold air mass, so not as cold, but I still think chilly overall. South flow really helps our temperatures moderate through the day on Thursday. Clouds will be increasing Thursday late afternoon. Our next weather system shows up to finish the week. Overnight Thursday night into Friday, we see the initial surge of cloud cover and moisture, and initially it's just the northern part of the state, but then you get into Friday late afternoon and Saturday, the frontal boundary goes through the rest of the state as well. So I think combined over the two-day period, Friday and Saturday, statewide we see 90% coverage with rain totals anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch. There can be some thunderstorms in there. Now I do think that Easter Sunday itself turns out mostly dry. Moisture sitting just to the west, but I don't see it getting into the state on Easter Sunday. Or if it does, it's going to wait until closer to evening. Overnight, Sunday night through Monday, yep, that's when we have another frontal boundary coming through, another round of shower and thunderstorm action. Once again, we can see a quarter to one, maybe 1.5 inch totals, depending on how strong the thunderstorms are, with coverage at 100% of Indiana. Tuesday the 22nd looks mostly dry. Wednesday the 23rd, not so much. We have hit and miss scattered showers and thunderstorms. Those linger through with Thursday. Quarter to 1 inch potential there over the entirety of the state. Moving into Friday the 25th, mostly dry. And then moisture coming back late Saturday the 26th into Sunday the 27th. Right now we're looking at warm air definitely taking hold late this week through next, but we have plenty of moisture coming through. So drying it may be a little bit better, but we're adding moisture to our forecast almost daily. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm, the excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine, you're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Back and forth in corn and beans, but a mostly lower close. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Monday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin with John Zanker Market Analysis. I spoke with John at the end of the session. He's with Risk Management Commodities. John, mostly a sell-off on Monday, maybe a little profit-taking as we move into a new week after some nice gains late last week. We've got a number of things in the markets that are influencing things. Of course, the world tariff situation. Weather is starting to play maybe more so the role that it normally should at this time.
Well, it's interesting that last week it looked like we might have 10 to 14 days of wide open weather out west, Nebraska, Dakotas, Kansas, western Iowa, Minnesota, and a pretty good stretch here in the eastern Corn Belt as well for those that are dry enough to get going. But in the corn market went up every day last week, despite that forecast, which was a little bit surprising to me. I'm trying to be friendly corn. I've been friendly corn for quite a while, and that's worked out okay. But this will be my 44th spring, and typically when the planters start to roll, that makes it difficult to keep corn futures moving to the upside. And today, over the weekend, these forecasts got wetter, and we have some intermittent rains, and we'll get off to a pretty decent start out west this week, but it's not going to be 10 to 14 days of uninterrupted. And here we are with May corn down a nickel, July down four, and D's down 1.5. So it's never an easy thing in our business to figure out which way this thing's going to go.
Do you still lean friendly corn?
You know, I do. I like the fundamentals, and we were reminded of that today with this shipment number. But it's difficult to stay friendly if these planters start to run, and let's say this forecast backs off a little bit, backs off the rains. We're going to see a lot of corn planted out west. And, there's people in northern Indiana, northern half of Indiana, north of 70. Same thing in Illinois. They're going to be planting corn this week. So how does this forecast hold? If the rains start to set in, if the National Weather Service is correct in its 6 to 10, 8 to 14-day outlook, those went wetter over the weekend. So if we stumble out of the gate, I think that I've been fairly confident that we were going to see $5 D's corn trade at some point, and here we are at 461. So we have a lot of work to do, and we're not going to make that 40 cents up if we're rolling these planters at a fast clip here over the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Let's talk about the export inspections report on Monday. And it was very good for corn and for wheat, in the range of expectations for beans. Did not seem as though that made much of a difference in the markets, especially for corn and wheat, though.
Yes, and that's just another, 72 million corn was not only a marketing year high, it's one of the best. And Arlen Suderman pointed this out on his noon comments, but that's one of the best of the last several years, period. I don't remember many exceeding that number. So certainly we didn't see it last year. So, we got a wetter forecast. We have an exceptional shipments report, and corns are going to finish in the red today. So, and beans are higher. And bean shipments of 20.1 were a marketing year low. So, and a very interesting thing on the soybeans today, we have new crop beans higher. We have oil, soybean oil sharply lower, down over $1. And then we're seeing meal down $2.80. So what's going on? I don't know, but it's okay. We'll take, if beans want to finish higher, given all that, I guess we need to be happy about it.
John Zanker with Market Commentary. John at Risk Management Commodities. His number is 866-837-9027. On the Hat Monday Market Review, settlements down a nickel and a quarter for the May corn, 485. July, 492 and three quarters, down four and a quarter. December, down a penny and a half, 462. A penny lower, May beans, 1041 and three quarters. July, 1050 and a quarter, down two and three quarters. Up on the Novi, 3 cents higher, 1028 and a half. May wheat, 547 and a half, losing 8 1/4. Meats went higher. June live cattle, $2.27 up at 199.07. June lean hogs finished at 95.12, up $1.80. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.